This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on Camo X. Happy Thursday to you. For once, it's a Thursday that feels like a Thursday.
Aww,
this is Thursday.
That's awesome.
You know what's weird about this week? It started off like this week is going to take forever, and it's not.
I couldn't agree more. I felt amazing. The same way on Monday. I was like, this week's going to suck.
And it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
It's been fine.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it was perfect fall weather.
Because the weather.
Yeah.
Really
yes.
makes a difference.
Makes you happy.
That's it.
It's brisk in the morning and you wear a sweater. It's awesome.
I was driving in today and in my Jeep with no windows and my freezer coat and the orange leaves were falling. I felt like I was in a TikTok, which is really nice.
Refresh my memory. Are you going to keep the top off the entire...
No, so the top's up, but no windows are in. And so what I'll do, because I'll get my henchman over here to help me, because I can't do it by myself anymore, is to put the side windows in, but I've never put the back window in yet. So I just want to keep that going, because I'm a dork.
Interesting.
So do you blast the heat when it's 4 degrees outside?
As much as I can. It's an 11-year-old vehicle, so nothing blasts on it anymore. Hmm. I don't know why I don't just go buy a car. I mean... It's one of those weird things with me where it's like this badge of honor. Like, oh, people are going to think I'm cool if I just drive this old beater. And I love it. I mean, it's one of my longest relationships is with old Ruby the Rubicon. But yeah, I mean, it's cold as hell. But I like it, though. I can't explain. Like, everyone makes fun of me. At the house, I will turn on the air conditioner, start a fire in the fireplace, open all the windows. Like, I'm like a museum piece.
And then get the blankets.
Heated blankets. Yeah. swear to God, this is true. When it's like 100 degrees and my HVAC is struggling because it's older, and I'll be laying on a heated blanket with a heating pad behind me with a box fan blowing on me.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't explain it.
I think I can explain the Jeep because Ranj explains this to me because I think it's why he likes Chicago. When you step outside of this building and it's really cold and you get hit with that blast of wind, he goes, makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks.
I think so. It's
you like it on your face.
Mm-hmm.
You like the feelings on your hand and your face or your face and your hands that it's a... It's out there. The cold weather is out there, but I can stay warm if I want to.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Warm if I want to. Yeah. It doesn't scare me.
That's right.
You've got the choice.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, what are you, a pioneer? Can't stay warm?
Yeah, man. Let's go.
I remember as a kid, I mean, I felt this every season. It gets down this cold. But as a kid, when you would be walking to the neighbors or to school or to a buddy's house, and immediately your nostrils were like frozen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And for a second, you kind of freak out for a minute, and then you're like, okay, I've done this before.
You know what? I didn't really experience it. And I guess it's because when I was a kid growing up here, I didn't spend a ton of time outdoors when it was cold. But when you walk to class in college, so I went to school in Bloomington Normal, which is a couple hours north, it's still a little bit, it feels quite a bit colder than here, and it's only 2 hours north.
Yeah.
But walking to class in the winter was the first time I remember my snot freezing inside my nose. I thought, this is a new sensation.
And then remember, Kev, you'll remember this, growing up where you did, being a sports guy, playing football in the snow.
Nonstop.
And your wrists getting so cold.
Oh, like and the snow gets inside the sleeve.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yep.
And you're just... Ugh.
At first, though. But then, like, once you're gone, it's like, whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
Gloves are warm. Your hands are warm.
You're sweaty underneath all the...
Forearms fine, but your wrists are freezing.
Yeah.
See, and I remember just playing soccer, and when it was cold, and the ball, like, you'd hit it with your leg, like your thigh, right? You're not just kicking it. You hit it with any other part of your body. It would just sting, like, all get out, because it was so cold.
Dude, we used to play high school baseball in that cold.
Ugh.
It would be like 25 degrees and snow flurries.
Ugh.
And like, nobody wants to swing today. Mm-hmm. Let's go fastballs inside. Here we go.
One of my earliest memories, I was either 3 or 4, because I went to kindergarten at 4, and I wasn't in school yet. And it was really, really cold. And my mom and I were walking next door to Mrs. Opal's house so they could crochet and I could look at the ding-dongs I couldn't eat. And I was wearing a big green puffy coat with a green sock cap and my hood up tied. I could barely see it in my face. My hands in my pockets. And I remember doing this. And I tripped and fell. And it took me about 37 minutes to hit the ground. And I hit right on my nose. And I was all bloodied and stuff. And I remember sitting over there at Mrs. Opal's house looking at those damn ding dongs. This is back in the day when you have to be my age to remember this, but ding dongs came in a box and they were each individually wrapped in tinfoil.
Yep.
And they were great. Aww. Now they suck. And I could never eat them. No one ever thought to offer the only child a ding dong. I would just sit there and...
Who were those ding dongs for then?
They were for the adults.
Her grown sons. I don't know. What? I can't explain it. Yeah, I couldn't play with it. They had these kick-ass toys in the basement. Like amazing, like, you know, whatever size, like bazookas and stuff. Just like amazing. And I couldn't even touch them. Because they might get upset.
That's ridiculous.
I know. And they would just sit there and crochet, and you could hear the clock tick, tick. Oh, it's just terrible.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And
can't cross the big kids, though.
I could have taken them.
Were they like 30? How old were her grown
sons? No, they
sons?
Were like grown.
Like, oh, really?
Like college. They were adults. They weren't just big kids.
No, they were like college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember going to my grandma's house, and she's like, are you hungry? And then we could go look for something to eat, but she's like, don't touch the Marie Callender's cake. That is a really good cake for guests. Like, it was her fancy cake. The fancy cake was the Marie Callender's that she kept in the freezer. And if there were, like, if you had company over, that's when you brought that out. Mm. You could not eat that.
I was spoiled. My mom was a baker, not a professional baker, but a really good one. And she would make fresh stuff every day.
Wow.
And it really hurt her feelings because all I wanted was like chocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted store-bought stuff.
Yeah.
And she would just make everything from scratch and it was great, but I was just spoiled.
Did you ever compliment someone like, wow, this is so good. It tastes like it came out of a can. We said that before because we were the cream of mushroom soup, like Campbell's.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of good comments on our friend's picture yesterday that we posted for the DGS 24th anniversary.
Cupcakes? Yeah. Oh, the cupcake picture. Yeah. I was like, what picture?
People are really digging it.
Would they say anything about Kevin's glamour muscles?
You couldn't see. It's just my face.
Glamour muscles?
Yeah, it's, you know, biceps in the chest and all the ones you see, right?
Was he flexing them?
I think so.
You couldn't. Oh. There's no way because there's barely my face in there.
There's no way he says.
What I should have done is gotten like...
Rachel was just...
Rachel's going to confirm.
Head on a table. I look like Mrs. Potato Head in this picture. Let's be real.
You look like a Barbie head that we're about to style.
I wanted one of those so bad. It was just like the shoulders up.
Yeah.
And you could play with their hair, but I never
so
had
did
one.
I couldn't say it, though.
Well, yeah.
Like my nieces had one. Yeah. It just looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Can you see Kevin's traps in the photo?
You can't. You can't really just see his face.
Yeah. Well, let's take another one featuring his guns.
Everyone flexing.
Oh, man. See? I told you.
It.
Yeah. Rachel's just...
Amy. Yeah. It's like we conducted a terrible experiment.
Amy is.
Amy's we removed her entire
body.
What
was the name of the wizard in the Pee-wee's Playhouse? Just a floating head?
Yeah. Mecha Chicky High, Mecha Heidi Ho.
Oh, and the thing that people don't know is that we took that photo on a timer, and I set the timer for 10 seconds.
Yeah,
that's a long,
we all
sat there forever.
Way too long.
We're all like, my cheeks hurt.
It's like, are you sure you didn't take a video?
Which would have been way better.
I do think it is like, if you were to look at it with zero context, you'd be like, what is going on in this picture? Yeah. Whose head is that?
Yeah. Why do they each have one cupcake? Are they going to feed it to the head?
It's just a ritual we have going on.
Make her lick the icing. Make her lick the icing. Just smashing it on top of her head. She can't do nothing. She got no limbs.
We took the photo and I was like, I hate the way I look in this. All you can see is my head. But I'm like, I'm not going to ask for another one because I made everyone wait 10 whole seconds.
Let me give you my... So I've been with her a long time.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like any pictures of her. She doesn't like... She never looks good. I'm used to this, right? This is our relationship. And so when she took the picture and she goes, oh God, I look like Mrs. Potato Head. I didn't even clock it. And then I saw the picture. I was like, what?
She's right this time.
Yeah, like, no, it's fine. Ryan, you don't look like just a head. Oh.
Not at all. I see your body.
It's kind of impressive. I don't think I could have done that if I tried to make it look so much like just a head.
No. Yeah, you can't even see like my neck. No.
Someone said, here's the theme of the picture.
We'll try our best, but I don't think we can pull it off.
Then you guys are just maniacally around her.
It's also like a Photoshop. Like, let's get Rachel into the picture.
It looks like you guys beheaded me, and now you're standing around like, here we go.
Yeah. Let's have cupcakes.
I believe John the Baptist was in a similar picture.
Hey, we'll see a photo of me and my work friends.
Yo, who's the head? Whose head is that?
That head's hot. Too bad she has no limbs.
Let me see that again. It's much funnier than I thought it was going to be. Oh, dude, look at it. It looks like somebody had a hold of your head and just set it down on the table.
Yeah.
So that we could take the photo.
At the very least, it looks like a cutout. You know, if you go to a sporting event and you cut out just the head and the face and you like you're holding it on the table.
It was Photoshopped in.
It looks like anything but a person.
We should probably make that happen. We should take the picture of her face and turn it into one of those. Turn into a Halloween mask.
Oh,
how about that? That'd be kind of fun.
That's the spookiest costume you could ever be.
My friends and I, several years ago, we all did that for Halloween. We all got a big head.
Yeah.
So we each picked somebody else in the group and became that big head. It's a great Halloween costume.
That's pretty great.
You should try it.
Oh. Fun little game to play.
You know, I don't think anybody commented about the floating head. I'm certainly
we're
going
getting
through.
Comments now. Someone just commented.
We got one that says, Joseph. Who is the, let's see, who's the baby-faced guy?
I think that's Andrew.
I think that's you because you shaved. I think it's a shaving reference.
I think it's you.
You've grown it back?
Because you're jacked like a baby.
Because what?
He's jacked like a baby.
I got baby bod.
Man, I don't like any of those words.
I would love to see Kevin as a child. Can you walking up to somebody's house like, hey, can Tim come out?
Hey, you would like?
Just his arms. He can't put his arms down because he's so huge.
I'm like the kid in Christmas Story. I can't move my arms.
Tim, your buff baby friend's here. I think he's poo-poos.
Tim, your friend's here. Which one? I don't know. I didn't ask. Is he jacked like a baby? Yeah. All right, that's Kevin. I'm coming.
I will say, this week we've talked about two pictures, and both have exceeded expectations. The first one was the Ku Klux Klandle.
Dude, that candle? Yeah.
And this one was Rachel's head, and both of them are like, it can't be that bad. They're just making content at this point, and then you pull it up and you're assaulted.
These two have brought up that damn candle.
Oh, that candle.
Every day.
I can't believe it exists.
It's so funny.
I'm like, we're still on the candle?
How could you not be?
Can I be honest with you? Yeah. When I brought that up, I really thought the narrative from you guys would be, oh, come on.
Oh, for sure.
It's 2024. It doesn't look that much like a Klans member. And then you're all just like, holy hell.
It's like, yep, that's what it looks like.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 124. Pardon me. I have big topics on the other side. This is such a small one. Oh, I'll just tell the story I heard today. It's kind of cool. When Phil Collins was 18, he got called to play congas on the George Harrison solo album, and so he came in and he did it, and he didn't make the cut. And so later when he was Phil Collins and he asked George about it, and George says, I don't remember that, but I have the master tapes. I'll send them to you. So he sent them the masters of the whole song, and the congas were in there and they were terrible. And there was even a part where George says to George Martin, let's take the lad from the congas and show him the door. And so Phil called George and said, thanks for sending that to me. Did you listen to them? He goes, no, I really didn't have time. And he goes, well, the congas were on there and they were awful. And I apologize. And then George admitted that he, when he requested it, called in a whole band and re-recorded the whole song with terrible congas. Like, he was just such a prankster that he did that, went to all that trouble.
Oh, that's
what?
Great.
Just to punk Phil Collins. Isn't that great?
That's pretty awesome.
Getting punked by a Beatle?
That's very funny. Just in general, that's great.
Yeah.
That's elaborate.
Now, that's my kind of prank.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Not so much Bin Boy jumping into your office and screaming and clapping.
That's a well-thought-out prank.
Yes, it is.
Unlike Kevin throwing fireworks at you.
Fireworks.
I'm
Don't be a sissy.
HR.
They are fireworks, Kevin.
They are not.
You hit me in the eye with a firework.
They are not.
Don't be a sissy.
If I hit you in the eye with a firework, you'd be dead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Now, most of my cousins got one eye.
Yeah.
I hope Phil Collins is doing okay.
Yeah. Oh,
remember he had all that drama a couple of years ago with his ex-wife?
Yeah, she wouldn't move out of his house.
Isn't he really sick?
Yeah, I thought
he's
not
great.
Sick.
He can't. It's
because I think he recently did his last ever performance. Right? He said he's not going to perform
can't
anymore.
Really stand up all that well anymore.
Which is,
yeah.
You gonna call him a sissy, Kevin?
No.
Jeez.
Well, he just can't get
I'm
up.
Not calling a snap and pop a
easy
firework.
Easy to throw fireworks
but
at him.
He does.
But you understand why someone doesn't want it thrown.
Yeah,
in their
absolutely.
Face.
That's why it hasn't happened since, has it?
That's true.
And it never happened to certain people. It only happened to one person.
That's why it hasn't happened.
The person who deserved
since.
It.
No, who I thought was okay with playing reindeer games, but apparently I was wrong. And I apologize.
Because he's a...
No, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with not wanting it thrown at you. It's fine.
It doesn't sound
just
like
don't,
it's fine.
Just don't call it a firework.
Kevin's the kind of guy point a laser pointer at your eye.
He's,
it's,
nope.
just a, it's just a laser.
Like never once.
It's like an SNL skit. The rational
once.
Bully.
The logic.
Just don't call it a firework. I understand why you didn't want it. And it hasn't happened since.
Exactly.
The logic bully.
It can't happen again
exactly.
Because you have protested. Sissy.
See? That's how it works.
Sissy.
He's easy to throw fireworks.
What?
I mean, in his defense.
Are we still dwelling on that?
Ron's just like, I thought I snuck that in there.
Let it go.
And that's why I haven't thrown them at Phil Collins since. Because I thought he'd be down for some fun, and he wasn't.
Yeah, I bet when Phil Collins was 34, he wouldn't have freaked out at a snap and pop hitting him.
In the face.
At all.
At work.
In the office.
I bet he was cool with that
at
back
work,
in the day.
In his workstation at
okay,
his desk.
Okay, Phil, we're going to record paper late now.
Here you go.
Oh, mate.
Mate.
That was funny.
I do love the angle Wheels is taking on this. Just like, you know, I thought you were cool, and I guess you're not. And
no.
That's
yeah. To be fair.
Hey, listen, some people, like, just as an example.
Yeah.
Ben Boyd and I, we both play the reindeer game, so we do those things to each other. But then, like, unlike Ben,
you
I
say,
stop.
What is the reindeer
listen,
game?
Listen, when someone says I don't like this, then I stop doing it. But I like to play games with people I think are going to play games. I just judged Andrew wrong. I thought he was going to want to play the games.
The harassment video.
Isn't that what it said? If people like the reindeer games, it's
in
okay.
This situation.
Well, I thought.
What should Andrew do?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
134 DGS on Camo X. So there's a comet that's visible right now. I haven't seen it yet. Haven't taken the time to see this amazing celestial object. But they say that when it's gone, it won't return for 80,000 years. 80,000 wow. years.
Mm-hmm.
So humans have been around, according to archaeology, 200,000 years. If you had to bet all your money, black or red, yes or no, are humans still here 80,000 years from now? Does a human see this comet again?
I would say no.
I would say yeah. I mean, if we can make the first 200,000 with the first 199,000 of those years basically being primitive, having no tools to adapt, no science, no nothing, why wouldn't we be able to adapt better as we have more of those things?
I think the answer would be because the technology is what gets us.
We always think that.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's a movie script, yeah. but I think if we're going to get got, it's either something completely unforeseen, you know, another comet,
like another comet,
an asteroid,
yeah.
some sort of a disease pandemic that we can't handle this time, or AI, some sort of technology that just wipes us out in a way we don't see coming.
I guess I should caveat mine, because obviously I'm a Christian, so you know what Christians believe shouldn't come as a surprise that I do believe in Christ's return. So
then you don't think it'll wait 80,000 years.
My caveat will be it'd be before 80,000 years, yeah. yeah.
I think we're doing everything we can to kill ourselves, so I don't know. 80,000 seems like a pretty long time. I would bet on us. I don't know. I guess there maybe some of us would still be around, but I think that we could end up. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we could very easily end up on a path where we destroy most of what we have. Most of the stuff that we've built up to be as great as it is, I think we could very easily jack it all up by going either too far or not stewarding it the way we should have.
Do you think there's a better chance that if humans do see the comet again, we are back to kind of being hunter-gatherers, or we're some super amazing futuristic society?
I don't think the latter ever happens. But I don't know. I think it's probably closer to being primitive, of us having to start over in some way. Whether it's a pandemic that really gets us, or you know, it's climate change, another asteroid hitting. I don't know. I bet that we would be 80,000 years from now closer to having to figure it all out again than us being so futuristically perfect that we're all living in a utopia. I think it's probably closer to the other.
Well, it's interesting that, because Kevin's point's a good one, that we made it so long with very little, if any, technology. And now that we have medicines and antibiotics and all these things, it should be easier. But our positive technology, things that make our lives empirically better, have been matched or outmatched by weaponry and bad things.
Yeah.
Right? And if you went back 10,000 years when they were hitting each other with clubs and gave them a revolver and showed them how to use it, they'd use it. You know what I mean? Like, there's, we're obsessed with killing each other. And so, therefore, whatever technology we do have in the future, I don't hold out a lot of hope that we reach some sort of Star Trek utopian society.
Exploring galaxies
yeah.
with men. You're, I mean, yeah, I don't think so.
You know, again, barring the unforeseeable and uncontrollable, right? Because there are things that we can't do anything about. 80,000 years ago, or Dave, was it 90,000 years? Somewhere in that time, you've pointed out humans were down to, what, 1,000?
Yeah.
A couple thousand people mm-hmm. at the most. So let's say we are terrible and we end up doing catastrophic damage to the planet that wipes out 95% of human beings. That 5% of what exists now is way more than what existed 80,000 years ago. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that while there could be some war, nuclear war, something that we do that leads to even the vast majority of humans disappearing. There are so many humans that have so many resources, and we are so resourceful and have technology that did not exist then. I mean, you know, we can say, well, what if the power grid goes down? We have solar panels. People have them now. We have portable solar panels. I have a solar charger for my phone. There are so many technologies available, especially to people with means. Wouldn't it be pretty rational to look at it and say, if the top 5%, and by top I mean the ones with the most resources, if they survive, that's still tens of millions of people. And that's still way more than existed 80,000 years ago.
That's another interesting thing by an academic. I'm not sure what his discipline was. It's been a couple of days. But he said that if we went through something and we're back to hunter-gatherer status, but we kept our population, that there's not enough resources
right,
for
right.
8 billion people to be hunter-gatherers, which yeah. really struck me. Like, I had never really thought of it that way. But the only way we survive is with our modern technology. There's just not enough land
no.
for us to live.
Well, and we wouldn't be at these numbers if it was like that.
Yeah.
I mean, billions would die off, like, pretty fast.
I think part of the question would also be how quickly do we get back to manufacturing on a large scale? Because the only way we can do this is if we have industry like that, you know, where we can build vehicles and we can build the things that we need for this many people to survive all at once, on top of the agriculture and all that stuff too. But if we lost all of that, I think we'd be in serious trouble.
We have here's why I think it's fascinating. You know, we hear a lot. There are people that will talk about lost civilizations and advanced civilizations that maybe disappeared or failed or died out or whatever. But we have means of recording information now and writing it down and storing it electronically that nobody had. Nobody had 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago. Hell, this isn't. I mean, we're talking about just in what, the last 50 to 100 years for a lot of these technologies. It's a lot harder to forget everything and get back to the point where we don't have a lot of this when we have so much of it recorded.
I wonder if it's because so much of it is, say, it's digital, right, or this new technology. I wonder if that makes your civilization less likely to be discovered, because we could all find a rock, but I can't open a hard drive. And if technology advances to the point where it can't read older technology, I mean, obviously, like, think of an A-track.
If you can't access a cloud.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny. It's just like a thought exercise. I wonder if our technology and the way we store stuff now, because it you can either view it as myopic, like we'll always be around to understand it, versus we might not, and then someone else comes back to try to discover what information we have. And they're like, I can't read this. I can read this rock, but I can't read this book. This book, but this USB drive.
But that would also obviously imply that some of us went so far in advance that we can't go back. There are languages now that people can't read or have to decipher. You have to try to figure them out that aren't spoken anymore. I mean, that concept exists. I could see that easily. 80,000 years from now, people, the tech is just beyond what we can even imagine. And they look at our tech and they're like, well, that's not even tech. That's a piece of plastic.
Yeah, like a cassette tape. Like, right. I don't even know how this is supposed to work.
Right.
We used to have to rewind. Come on, dude.
Someone said that's what's wrong with Gen Z.
They don't have to rewind.
Yeah, that rewinding teaches you a whole
patience.
And also, like, thinking of people coming after you and like, doing something that's inconvenient and kind. It was kind of a joke, but it was kind of funny. Like, he's like, I learned my character was shaped by rewinding.
Be kind. Rewind.
Be kind. Rewind.
How about, you know, because you can get music, not for free, but, you know, you got to pay for the service. And I guess people can get free music, but... any song you ever want is easily accessible whenever you want to, right? Did it build any sort of character to be in your bedroom with the cassette tape on record pause?
Oh, yes. Buddy.
Waiting for the song to come on, the radio that you love, and then jumping up and then hitting unpause to record it?
And hoping the DJ didn't talk over it?
Yes.
Oh.
Hoping the DJ didn't hit the post?
Yeah, can
that's
you
right
with that Off-Broadway Turnaround song? Mm-hmm. That's the last one I did. This song she's about to play. It was on Keishi, and I was sitting there with my recorder, which sat on the ground, and it was taller than it was wide. And a lot of people had that one, with a little microphone that came out of it, and you'd push play and record was red at the same time.
Yep.
And I was just sitting there with my fingers on the buttons, waiting for Keishi to play this song, and then click, got it. Right. 150 DG asked, having an interesting discussion. Wheeler told us about an 84-year-old woman who is voting for the very first time because her husband told her all those decades that he didn't think she should vote. And you know, I was a baby, but I was alive when the Civil Rights Act happened. I was 10 when women first got the right to have a credit card in their name. Amy is the first generation of women to be able to run marathons.
In the Olympics, yeah.
In the Olympics.
Like, that happened when I was alive. Yep.
Right.
1984, the first women's Olympic
it's
marathon.
It's just crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, are we living in the biggest generation of change, all things being equal?
You mean culturally, like societal norms?
Yeah, not technology, just societal norms.
Well, that too,
norms.
Though.
Could be both.
I think I think they're all connected.
I would say because, like, technology, yes.
Technology.
But I do think, going back to the 18th century, where in Europe and in the colonies, right, in a forming United States, you had, for the first time ever in human history, the idea of the rights of the individual. That was like about as radical ideology as you can imagine. And from that, I mean, look at, like you said, you go back 200,000 years, you're not going to see a lot of changes. Even the Middle Ages were rough, right? And it was like divine right of kings and all of that. The advancements of technology, cultural norms, freedoms that kept evolving, that stems back to, you see, the Enlightenment and the American Revolution. Those were pretty radical, never before had ideas.
Yeah, we don't give that credit. You know, we just,
never,
you know,
yeah.
we learn about 1776 and I was in a play called Let George Do It and blah, 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 blah. But it's so true. I mean, that yeah. was radical for the entire world.
For the entire world.
Yeah. I think that, I guess the way it depends on the phrase, the way we're phrasing it. It's definitely happening faster now, though. That took hundreds of years. The stuff that we see now changes in years or decades
Which
at the
is,
most.
Whoever said it, it's why we live in such a pissy time. Because people were changing so quickly and we're changing such long-standing mores that, of course, the people who are on the crappy end of this particular stick are going to be like, wait a minute.
But it's not even the crappy end. It just a little
to
less
to them. It is
just a little less gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right. Yeah, think about this. If you're talking about the speed in which things have progressed, the difference between 1900 and 1950, I don't think nearly as great as 1950 to 2000.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, it everything got to a point where it was just exponentially going forward, both culturally and with technology.
And I do think if you look at the evolution of human society, like I was saying. With the founding fathers, the Enlightenment, whether it was, you know, John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, it looked different in Europe and the United States, but you see it. You see it happening in Western civilization. It's like humans had been living in a field of snow for a long time. And then the founding fathers came, shaped something into a snowball and kicked it down the hill. And we're like pretty far down that hill where that snowball is getting bigger and faster every year.
Yeah. No, I think that's the point. It's accelerating. And at various points in history, it took a long time to change those things. So it took a long time. And by the way, it took wars to get things. I mean, it took full-on rebellions to get something like the Magna Carta to happen.
Is there a natural stopping point of societal evolution where you look around and you go, this is good. This is it. We've made it.
I don't know. I don't know that we're built that way. I mean,
I think we're flawed enough that we'll never be.
We'll never reach it.
We'll never reach it both. Like, not just because we're not satisfied, but because there's still pretty crappy people and situations.
Yeah. Probably the only way we get to that is if we ever get to a point where, you know, pretty much all the subgroups have it pretty good. If it's because the reason we continue to have progress.
And the subgroups are changing. The white people will be a subgroup in about 20, 30 years.
Which?
Religious people.
Yeah, which, I mean, that first one makes a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, why things, I think part of the reason things are kind of lousy in a way now. Because people who had it so good for so long are maybe not quite there the way they used to be, and there's a lot of threat in that.
The thing about it, not to be all woke here, but it's just a fact. It's just, I mean, tell me where I'm wrong. But when white, straight people had it, they didn't think they had it good. They didn't look at other people and go like, wow, we got it great. They just knew that those other people shouldn't have it like they do, right? It wasn't like, to me, I wasn't living back then, but it didn't seem like they looked around and went like, man, we're killing it.
Well, we're also doing pretty well, you know? But then you might look around and see other subgroups starting to do a whole lot better, and you think, whoa, whoa, hold on a second. Let's slow down here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.